106.6.
Hey, that was Big Yellow Taxi by The Counting Crows, and you're listening to Movies, Games and TV with Dom Robinson, a new weekly show where I look through the week's releases in movies and video games, plus the charts, and look at what's new on TV and news for all three. And if you've got anything to say about these, do get in touch via the Facebook page, which if you search for Movies, Games and TV with Dom Robinson on Facebook, it'll come up. I'm having some technical difficulties at the moment, so I can't actually bring it up myself. If we can't get that resolved, then we'll have a look for you. Now, what we've got coming up, first of all, in the first hour, I'm going to be having a review of The King's Speech on Blu-ray. We're going to be having movie charts. Let's look at some new cinema releases. Highlights of the DVDs out this week. We've got film news. And we've also got a guest. We've got Jamie Kilday.
Evening. Well, afternoon, even.
Yes.
In my old regular slot.
Just, yeah, I've missed a slot. But you're still the 2-hour film show, and you're now doing a comedy show.
Yeah, Saturday's 4 till 6. Let's get that plug in the way, shall we? I used to do a film show in this slot, so I feel quite nostalgic being in this room at this time of day. A bit strange, but I'm happy to hand over the Tuesday beacon to yourself, Dom.
That's good, because it was interesting. Yeah, I was a guest on your show a few times, and then so it's good to have you as a guest on my first ever show.
It's a pleasure, Dom. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. What sort of guests have you had on the show so far?
On the comedy show? Oh, we've had loads of people on. We've had Wes Zaharuk and Angelo Sarukas, who are very special guys because they're both a Canadian, so that was quite impressive. We had Dom Carroll, who is the one and only... we've had two acts from Manchester on. We had Dom Carroll and Andy Watson, who are both from Manchester. And we had Sully O'Sullivan from New Zealand. It's been quite an international foray at the moment.
That's good, yeah.
But it's excellent stuff. But I'm quite excited to hear what's coming up later on in the show today, Dom.
Well, that's I've already given you on my show.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've already given you a list of the show. But we're gonna, if you understand, we're gonna start off with a review of The King's Speech, which came out very recently. And basically, The King's Speech. He had a stammer. He overcame it. It's the feel-good story of the decade. Seriously, The King's Speech is one of the UK's recent success stories, with funding from the UK Film Council, an organisation that brings in £5 for every £1 it spends, which is due to be closed thanks to Culture Secretary Jeremy Hunt. Careful how you say that. In 1925, King George V is on the throne, and he asks his second son, the Duke of York, Colin Firth, eventually to be George VI, not to march 10,000 men up and down a hill, but to give a closing speech at the Empire Exhibition in Wembley. Unfortunately, he's got a horrible stammer, and that's shown to us as the film begins. Following this debacle, he's given the encouraging news that smoking cigarettes calms one's nerves and gives you confidence. I wouldn't watch if it was used as an advertising campaign today. Initially, he's given 7 sterilised silver balls by his doctor to put into his mouth as an attempt to apparently cure his condition. Naturally, it doesn't work, and so, without his knowledge, his wife, Queen Elizabeth, Helena Bonham Carter, goes to see Lionel Logue, Geoffrey Rush, who helps people with their speech defects, with a view to arranging an appointment, one to which he does go, but doesn't feel it's gone at all well, and calls it a day, never to return. But we all know he will. It then leads on to taking the full effect of Edward and Mrs. Simpson, with Guy Pearce, surprisingly to me, taking the role of first screen brother, King Edward VIII, who initially takes the role of king after their father, George V, Michael Gambon, dies. And that also includes a lead-up to World War II, where it really could be stammer time for Bertie. The King's Speech is well-directed, with great attention paid to period detail, and has interesting visual quirks in two-handed conversations and generally with the composition of the image. The best parts of the film all come between Firth and Rush, but quite frankly, a lot of the rest of it is fairly dull and overlong. I watched this on Blu-ray, and the picture is mostly good, but it doesn't quite feel like a Blu-ray should. It just doesn't feel as crisp and clear as it should do. There's not too much to shout about with the sound either, as it's just used for dialogue and some music. There's not a massive amount of extras. There's a making-of called An Inspirational Story of an Unlikely Friendship, featuring clips from the film mixed in with sound bites from the key cast and crew members, a couple of speeches from the real King George VI, and an interview with Mark Logue, the grandson of Lionel Logue, and co-author of the book The King's Speech, How One Man Saved the British Monarchy. There's a few other bits and pieces, including a director's commentary in the trailer, but for such an Oscar-winning film, it doesn't really feel like they've gone to town on this one when they could have done. So for me, the film, I'd give it a 4 out of 10 overall. The whole package, yeah, maybe a 5. Have you seen this one, Jamie?
I actually really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good film. I watched it, at the King's Speech, and I thought the acting was very good in it. I don't normally like films that are based on true stories. I find sometimes they go on a little bit too long.
Yeah.
But I think this one kept the pace up a bit, and it didn't lag in any way. I really enjoyed it. seems to be that I'm the opposing view on this show at the moment. No, I did enjoy it. And I thought it was quite well shot as well.
Yeah, yeah. That's one bit we agree on.
I don't feel like I'm able to sway your view on this one, Dom.
No, and the trouble is I can only possibly sway it by watching it again, and I don't really want to.
But, that's a fair enough point. That's a fair enough point, I suppose.
It's on the film, to coin an old phrase from Winner Takes All, we have a difference of opinion, Jim. That's a good 80s reference. That shows my age, doesn't it?
A little bit. With me being an 80s child, I was born in the 80s, so most 80s references do go over my head. I have to apologise.
That's all right. I was born in the 70s, and I'm a bit the same way with that. But after, we're going to play another song, and after that we're going to have some movie charts. So, and the song that's coming up is Kid Rock and Born Free. 106.6. You're listening to the Movies, Games and TV with Dom Robinson, and with our special guest, Jamie Kildare.
How do you,
you alright?
I'm doing well, thank you very much. I'm enjoying the sun outside, but I wish it wasn't...
Is it in here?
Yeah, I can see through the window, just see the sun outside. It's cheery, that, isn't it?
That is. I thought you were going to say you had something like a sort of little portal where you could sort of... It's like there's a game review I'm coming up to later in the show of Portal 2, and if you sort of shoot a hole in the wall and basically have the exit to be outside somewhere if you wanted to.
Yeah, you can walk through the portal and end up outside.
Yeah,
that'd be nice. Let's have one of them, and I could just go.
You could sunbathe while you're inside.
Oh, you'd have one. You could go on holiday, like, and you could have one portal. Say you go on holiday to Spain, and you go, I quite like Spain. So you'd have one portal somewhere hidden in Spain.
Yeah.
And then the other one in like your spare room.
Yeah.
And then you could just pop to Spain, cost you out.
Whenever you feel like.
Yeah, be good that.
That'd be pretty good, yeah.
Although, you might end up with lots of Spanish people in your spare room. It's not a well thought out plan. You'd have to hide the second portal.
You could sort of like do, connecting to the movie theme, like Shawshank Redemption, sort of, you got a hole in the wall, but just stick a big poster over it so no one sees that there is a hole there.
So I'd need to do it behind a billboard in Spain.
Yeah.
And hope that when they change the billboard, the man who's in charge of changing the billboard doesn't fall through my portal and end up in my spare room.
Otherwise, he'll come through and he'll blackmail you into...
I don't know enough Spanish to be able to get myself out of that situation.
That's presuming they want a holiday in our country, just with our lovely weather.
I'll be honest, my spare room doesn't offer many, doesn't offer much as a holiday destination.
No. You could always lock the door to your spare room. And then they can't... Well, they'll still be in your spare room, but...
Oh, but then that gets even more awkward, doesn't it? Because then I've got lots of Spanish people locked in my spare room. Immigration, and I forget on my case. this is a poorly thought-out plan. I will not be exercising it.
That's a fair assessment. So, just getting back on track. We're going to be having a look at the movie charts in this section. Now, normally, I'd like to start off with some UK charts. Trouble is, I'm still trying to find some UK charts. Normally, you can get them all from a few places, either on Yahoo's site or like the Internet Movie Database, but they all seem to have disappeared from everywhere. So, we have the American Top 10, which is basically pretty much the same anyway, in the top section of it anyway. Number one, we've got The Hangover Part 2 with Bradley Cooper, Ed Helms and Zach Galifianakis.
Galifianakis.
Trying to be careful how I say that. Now, I know lots of people like the original. I haven't seen it. It looks a bit of a laugh from the trailer, but from what I've read, it does seem to do nothing new that the original hadn't already done. Have you seen either of them?
My brother's really looking forward to going and seeing it, and apparently we're supposed to be going and seeing it at the weekend together, but all I've heard is people saying that it's exactly the same as the first one. They've just seen the first one and thought, that worked well. We'll just copy it again.
Yeah.
But I could be proven wrong. I'm looking forward to seeing it, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, in America, it's, in its opening weekend, it's grossed $118 million to date. So it's...
hardly surprising, considering how big the first one was. Yeah. People will instantly go and see it just off the back of how good the first one was. And the first one was a very, very good film.
So it's worth seeing.
I think so. Have you seen the first one?
No, I've not seen the first one.
The first one's definitely worth seeing. Whether the second one's worth seeing is... well, time will tell.
Maybe would it be original if you just replayed the first one? That's what it sounds like. It's just a carbon copy.
I don't think you have to have seen the first one to understand the second one. I don't think that's majorly important.
If they say the second one's a copy of the first one, would it be more original just to watch the first one again?
And then just not bother watching the second one?
Yeah.
I suppose so. If you're going to pick one of the two, watch the first one.
Yeah.
That's the same with most films, though, isn't it? If it's a series, just watch the first one if you're going to.
I might do that. Number two, we've got Kung Fu Panda 2. That's got quite a big cast. It's Jack Black, Angelina Jolie, Dustin Hoffman, Gary Oldman, Jackie Chan, Seth Rogen, Lucy Liu, David Cross, Michelle Yeoh, Dennis Haysbert from 24, and Jean-Claude Van Damme. Have you seen either of these? Or
I haven't seen the first Kung Fu Panda, but from all the news that was building up to the second Kung Fu Panda, I was really excited about it. When I was doing my film show, it was like the thing I was constantly waiting for it to come out. Every show I'd mention it, because I think Michael Gondry was supposed to direct something in it as well, and I was like, that's amazing. That guy's an amazing director. And this is just an animation, so I can only hope good things from it. It's worth seeing, I think.
Yeah. I mean, who did the first one? Did he direct the first one? Or?
No, I can't remember who directed the first one, but the second one certainly built up a nice cast, and especially a big directing and producing crew of people who've added, not directed it solely, but helped it along the way. So it should be worth seeing just based on that. Go and see it.
Yeah. Number three, we've got Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, this time joined by Penelope Cruz in place of Keira Knightley. I haven't actually seen any of these films. This is a good start, isn't it? I've seen The King's Speech, and that was rubbish. I've not seen any of the Pirates of the Caribbean films in full. I think I'm on for about 30 years, don't I? But I did see the 3D trailer, and it just looked like a case of style over substance, but it has grossed $152 million to date. So they've got to be doing something, right?
The trilogy is worth watching.
Yeah.
It kind of tailed off near the end, so I'm surprised they went for a fourth one. I think, rule of three, everything should be in threes. Four's just too complicated.
I think they're planning to do five and six as well.
See, now... they did that with Star Wars. Yeah. Look what happened there. There was no good, nothing good. Any sort of films that have gone on for more than three, like the Rocky films went on for too long. The Saw films went on for too long. Mm-hmm. I could go on. So, I don't know. This could be, and most of the cast have dropped out as well, which is a strange thing about the Pirates of the Caribbean one.
Yeah.
Orlando Bloom isn't doing it. Keira Knightley isn't doing it. The only person they've managed to hold on to. The main character they've managed to hold on to is Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
So, look into that as you will, do you know what I mean? Like, why aren't the other actors in it? Is it because the story doesn't allow them to be in it, or have they just chosen not to be in it?
Yeah, I suppose if they're set themselves contractually for three films, and then they'll think about doing something else, because they don't expect a fourth one to come, and then along comes the opportunity, but by then they're already booked up for something else, perhaps.
There's that as well, yeah. It could be that, or it could be just that they don't think the film's worth doing.
That's true. Now, number four, a film called Bridesmaids. I don't think I'd heard of this, but about a woman called Annie Christine Weig, as a maid of honour whose life unravels as she leaves her best friend Lillian, Mayor Rudolph, and a group of colourful bridesmaids, including Rose Byrne and Melissa McCarthy, on a wild ride down the road to matrimony. Annie's life is a mess, but when she finds out her lifetime best friend is engaged, she simply must serve as Lillian's maid of honour. Though lovelorn and broke, Annie bluffs her way through the expensive and bizarre rituals. With one chance to get it perfect, she'll show Lillian and her bridesmaids just how far you'll go for someone you love. That sounds about as exciting as...
I think it's the way you tell it, Don.
Yeah, I didn't exactly sell that one because it didn't look... It didn't exactly thrill me.
No.
The premise.
I think that came across.
So a quick run through the rest of the top 10 before we move on to some cinema releases. At number 5, because these have been out for a while, number 5 we've got Thor. Number 6, Fast and Furious 5. Number 7, Midnight in Paris. Number 8, Jumping the Broom. Number 9, Something Borrowed. And number 10, it's Rio, that CGI film for kids. Which, so have you seen
Fast and the Furious 5, there you go. Like, should have stopped at 3.
Apparently they've even got a 6th one coming out.
Should have stopped at 3. That's all I'm saying. It should have just stopped at 3.
I think it's just the when the money just starts rolling in. It's all, you know, they just can't help themselves.
No, I just hope it had dried up. No, there's no money in that film. And I've never enjoyed the Fast and the Furious films. So, but there you go. Anyway, I digress.
That's all right. Now we can have a little look at some cinema releases. Now I've put YouTube trailer links to the first 3 of these on the Facebook page. So if you can get on there, you can have a look at them. The first one is actually out tomorrow. X-Men First Class. Now that one's the 4th film in the series. Well, I suppose technically the Wolverine one is the 4th one, so it's technically number 5, but it's like probably starting a whole new trilogy. Before Charles Xavier and Eric Lenzer took the names Professor X and Magneto, there were 2 young men discovering their powers for the first time. Before they were arch enemies, they were the closest of friends, working together with other mutants, some familiar, some new, to stop the greatest threat the world has ever known. In the process, a rift between them opened, which began the eternal war between Magneto's Brotherhood and Professor X's X-Men. Set in the early 1960s, James McAvoy plays Charles Xavier, while Michael Fassbender is Eric, a.k.a. Magneto. The rest of the cast features Kevin Bacon, like most other films, Rose Byrne, Jennifer Lawrence, Oliver Platt, Jason Fleming, Zoe Kravitz, daughter of Lenny Kravitz and Lisa Bonet, Nicholas Holt, and January Jones as an adult Emma Frost, whose character did turn up in the Wolverine film as a teenager, even though this film is set 40 years before Wolverine. So she's an adult in this, she was a teenager in Wolverine, and this one's set 40 years before. If you're confused, well, apparently her character's just been what they call retconned, which means basically they've just changed things to suit themselves. Now, the trailer looks as polished as you'd expect, and there's no sign of Patrick Stewart or Ian McKellen in this film, as he wanted a complete break from the previous films. That's the people in charge of it. Are you looking forward to this one?
No. Okay. I'll be honest, I haven't been following the X-Men films. I watched the first one and enjoyed it. The second one was the first of a film I've ever walked out on. Really? And I've not watched any more since.
Interesting, because the first one, I actually thought that this is one film where I have actually seen every one of the series. Just break with tradition. The first one I thought was a bit... I thought it was a bit iffy, but the second and third one, I loved them. Just because they just threw all the action in rather than all the setup. Perhaps.
Probably. I'm more excited about the new Wolverine film.
When's that out?
Oh, not for another year, I don't think.
Oh, right.
But
get this out.
Because that's I can't remember who's directing it. What's his name?
I think it's Matthew Graham's directing this one.
No, the new Wolverine one. I've forgotten his name. Oh, come back to me. The guy who directed Pi and Requiem for a Dream.
Darren Aronofsky,
that's one. Director of Black Swan. He's directing the new Wolverine one. So I'm more excited about that than I am this one.
Yeah.
But I'm sure this one, if you're into X-Men, this is... It should be right up your street.
Yeah. I mean, the Wolverine one was a bit... wasn't great. But, that just... probably because it had to do a fair bit of... not too much, but a fair bit of setting up, and it just all went a bit...
Yeah, there was too much setup... to us, and it didn't, the storyline didn't go anywhere, so they thought, well, we're setting up too much here, so we'll throw in a lot more action. And it just didn't work for me.
No, and they'll probably write a proper plot by the time they get around to the next one.
The next one that Darren Aronofsky's doing is distancing itself from that one.
Oh, right.
And it's going to be a separate film completely.
Just to confuse masses.
Because Darren Aronofsky didn't think that the first one was all that good, so he just thought, I'll distance myself from that one and make sure that this one is standalone. It's not going to be connected to any other X-Men film. So it'll be a better film, but in terms of trying to get towards the storyline that the X-Men films are already doing, it'll be confusing to say the least.
Will it still have Hugh Jackman in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Hugh Jackman's now doesn't work with Darren... it's kind of something in his contracts that he won't do a film unless he knows the director and gets on with the director. Oh. So now any film that he does now are only with directors that he has worked with before and knows their work or appreciates them, which is a good way to work, I think.
Yeah. It's supposed to be like, I know, David Finch and Brad Pitt, they do a lot of films together.
Yeah, just sticking to what you know and saying no to a lot of films, I presume.
Yeah. Although it took me 3 hours to watch Benjamin Button the other night. 3 hours of my life I won't get back. It must have taken a long time to film if you're going to end up with a very long film or something.
Yes, indeed.
Did you like that film?
I haven't seen Benjamin Button either. I just didn't grab me. No. I didn't know it was David Fincher until after The Social Network came out.
Yeah.
And then when they said, David Fincher, director of Benjamin Button, and I was like, I might watch Benjamin Button. I haven't got around to it yet. Girlfriend said it's good, though. There you go. Girlfriend's opinion's always a good one to have.
Yeah. I was intrigued by it, but then it just sort of... it was just ended up a bit like a soap opera and just seemed to... It's a kind of film you could watch while doing other things.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just a bit... wasn't quite... didn't wow me as much as I thought it would do. I was really looking forward to it, but
alright,
there we go. The next film is one called The South is Friday, one called Last Night. Joanna, Keira Knightley and Michael Reed, Sam Worthington from Clash of the Titans, are in a successful and happy relationship. They are moving along in their lives together until Joanna meets Laura, Eva Mendes, the stunning beautiful work colleague who Michael never mentioned. While Michael is away with Laura on a business trip, Joanna runs into an old, but never quite forgotten love, Alex, Guillaume Canet. As the night progresses and temptation increases, each must confront who they really are. Well, strap yourself in and feel the G's, because this sounds as bad as it looks. The trailer just shows you a lot of will-they-won't-they moments, and I struggle to care. Are you going to give that one a miss, Jamie?
I'll be honest, I don't go to cinema as often as I should do, and so...
This won't be top of the list.
The next film I'll probably see is A Hangover 2, and then after that it'll be another 6 months until I go to the cinema again.
The next film is one called Screwed, which is says this film is a semi-biographical story based on the experiences of former prison guard Ronnie Thompson, who spent 7 years working in some of the UK's most dangerous prisons. Based on Thompson's book of the same name, the project stars James Darcy, Master and Commander, Noel Clark, Kid Althood, and Doctor Who, Frank Harper from The Football Factory, Jamie Foreman from Layer Cake, Andrew Shim from This Is England, and Kate McGowan from Stardust. The story revolves around former soldier Sam Norwood, who takes a job as a prison officer when he returns from Iraq and becomes exposed to the underworld of prison culture, including corrupt guards and drug trafficking. Now, the trailer for this, which is violent and uncompromising, to me, it does look far more intriguing than any of the other films out this week. I'd never heard of this before. I was looking it up, though.
No, that was something I discovered when I was doing my film show, that there's a lot of films which seem to get a lot of... under-publicised, I suppose.
Yeah.
The cast, good British cast.
Yeah.
Andrew Shim is excellent in This Is England. Mm-hmm. And I think that was... It's a sad thing, that the fact that... It took me to be reviewing films to see how many films there are out in a week that are worth going to see.
But it's good to sort of open yourself up to new ones, because it's better if, I'd much rather this was on, sort of showing on one of the screens at the cinema rather than, about half a dozen of them will be taken up with the X-Men tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure of that. And probably all of them will be in 3D or something, just so that you can charge you an extra £2 for going.
Yeah. I'm not gonna. No, don't get me started on 3D. Move on.
We might do. And finally, this section, there's also a film called Prom, which when I first saw the title, it sounded like the kind of thing that might turn into a gory serial killer movie. But no, it's a Disney film about a group of teenagers getting ready for their high school prom. I think I'll pass. I didn't even bother putting the trailer for that one on the on the Facebook page. It sounds absolutely well worth giving a miss. So, from a film that I know I won't enjoy to a song that we will enjoy, it's Wham Rap, Enjoy What You Do, from Wham on Manchester's 106.6.
106.6.
That's Wham with Wham Rap, Enjoy What You Do on Manchester's 106.6. You're listening to Movies, Games and TV with Don Robinson. And what we're going to enjoy now is the DVDs coming out this week. Well, maybe not the first two. Oh, we're back with Jamie Kilday as well.
I'll do.
You're right.
I'm very well.
Now, the first DVD that's out this week is one called Just Go With It. There's a trailer for this on the Facebook page. And it's a new romantic comedy starring Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston, who, to me, never seem to do anything else these days. Danny Maccabee, Adam Sandler, meets the girl of his dreams, Brooklyn Decker, but has to enlist his loyal assistant, Catherine, Jennifer Aniston, to pretend to be his soon-to-be ex-wife in order to cover up a careless lie. When more lies backfire, Catherine's kids soon become involved, and everyone heads off to Hawaii for a ridiculous out-of-control weekend that tests the limits of how far we'll go for love. Just as you do.
Yeah, I thought so. But well,
that's
no, but I just think when I was getting together with my girlfriend, I don't think I used enough lies. I think that's the always. I think I don't mean that. Obviously, I mean what I'm trying to say is that these films, they don't help love lives. They just seem to be like, oh, just perpetuate the lie, just keep lying. It'll all come good at the end.
Sort of, yeah,
and I don't think that's a very good sentiment to have.
100 lies make a truth.
Yeah.
So two wrongs make a right. 100 lies make a truth.
Two wrongs don't make a right, but three left, so you'll end up going right.
Good point. I tend to prefer that after doing that after.
Providing your left to right angles.
Yeah, yeah. If they're all 90 degrees, well, with a total of 270 degrees, something or other like that.
Maths banter. Mm. Good stuff.
Yeah. I just remember turning right onto a main road once and. Then suddenly the back of my car had been rearranged by someone else coming up behind me.
Exciting times.
It was. Now, this DVD contains... the extras contain two audio commentaries, one from the director, Dennis Duggan, and the other from Adam Sandler, Nick Swardson, and the filmmakers. There's also several featurettes on it. I haven't seen this film, but I watched the trailer, and it was... which was predictable to the last. It doesn't point out that Sandler will get it together with Aniston, but I bet every last pound that I've got that they do.
I'm not gonna bet you on that one.
No,
I don't think many bookies will take you on that with that one.
No, because yeah, they'd lose, I'd win. The next one is pretty much the same kind of thing. It's a dilemma. Again, the trailer's on the Facebook page. Movies, games, and TV on Facebook. Vince Vaughn and Kevin James headline an all-star comedy from director Ron Howard and producer Brian Grazer about a man who finds out that what you don't say to a friend is just as important as what you do. In a story of how far you can bend a brotherly bond before it snaps. Since college, confirmed bachelor Ronnie, Vince Vaughn, and happily married Nick, Kevin James, have been through thick and thin. Now partners in an auto design firm, the two pals are vying to land a dream project that would launch their company. With Ronnie's girlfriend, Beth, Jennifer Connelly, and Nick's wife, Geneva, Winona Ryder, by their sides, they're unbeatable. But Ronnie's world is turned upside down when he inadvertently sees Geneva out with another man, and it makes his mission to get answers. As the amateur investigation dissolves his world into comic mayhem, he learns that Nick has a few secrets of his own. Now, with the clock ticking and pressure mounting on the biggest presentation of their careers, excuse me, Ronnie must decide how and when he will reveal the truth to his best friend. Have you seen this one? I saw the trailer.
Yeah, I saw the trailer, and it caused a lot of controversy, actually.
Did it?
When it came out in America, there was a scene in it where because they worked for an automobile company, and they were saying that they were trying to dissuade people from buying an electric car, and there's a scene where Vince Vaughn says the electric car is gay.
All
and
right.
He goes, that car is gay. And so this caused a lot of uproar from people saying that you shouldn't use the word gay as an insult, which is a fair enough point.
Hmm.
And so it caused a lot of controversy, but in the same way, caused a lot of publicity even.
Yeah.
So it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? I'm sure these things, they obviously planned it that way. They must have done.
Yeah,
if not,
just to get some
publicity.
Yeah.
But again, it's just another naff rom-com, isn't it? If you're into rom-coms, it's just another one. Something to watch if you've literally nothing else to do with your evening. Yeah.
The next thing we got is actually a TV series which I've not seen, but it's supposed to be really good. It's called Tremé, That's the season one. This is from David Simon, creator of The Wire. Tremé is already in the middle of its second season in the US. It's a drama series. It's also created by co-created by Eric Overmyer, who worked with Simon on The Wire, and takes its name from a neighbourhood in the city of New Orleans. The city begins 3 months after Hurricane Katrina, where the residents of New Orleans, including musicians, chefs, Mardi Gras Indians, and ordinary New Orleanians, try to rebuild their lives, their home, and the unique culture. That's supposed to be really good, because it's always like top of the Amazon charts. There's enough stuff that's out this week, but the basic description isn't exactly selling it to me.
No. Is it, see, The Wire?
Yeah.
Massive hit. Everyone's loving that.
So it's worth a shot.
Just rising off the back of that, it's got to be good, isn't it?
Yeah.
If it's not, then there's a lot of disappointed people who bought it on Amazon.
David Simon's done something seriously wrong, because The Wire was absolutely fantastic. Now, what we're going to do now, we're going to have another song, and then we're going to have some film news.
Ooh.
All right?
Excited.
So, you listen to Manchester 106.6, and we've got Latricia McNeil with Stranded.
106.6.
Okay, that was Latricia McNeil with Stranded. You're listening to Manchester 106.6, and this is Movies, Games and TV with Dom Robinson. And also with us, we've got Jamie Kilday.
I'll do.
You all right?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
Good time.
I'm really enjoying this show today, Dom. Thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you very much for accepting.
You're welcome.
Now, this section we're going to have, just before the top of the hour, we're going to have some film news. And following on from the mention of the X-Men First Class that's out tomorrow, we've got director Matthew Vaughan talking more about the X-Men First Class sequel. Now, very positive. There's been very positive early reviews about the first film, which have already reached the director, who's sounding more and more confident about his ideas for a sequel. If the film's a hit, I definitely want to work with Fox again. He said, "There's a lot of fun things that can be done with this world. I'd be very interested in doing a sequel. The hard thing is creating a new franchise, so if it works, that would be fun." And not only that, but the director teases the follow-up to First Class would seriously up the stakes. My ideas are much bigger for the next one, the director says. I'm surprised everyone is calling this a really big epic movie, and I'm thinking, wait until you view the next one if you think this is epic. The next one, you won't believe what happens. I've already been lucky enough to see X-Men First Class, and the thought of Vaughan continuing the quasi-reboot with a sequel, it has us doing multiple backflips, would you believe?
I'm quite unnerved at the idea of somebody going into a film with the idea of having a franchise already in the back of their head. Why is he not just thinking, well, if you like this film, wait for the next one? Like, no, just bring me the next one if the next one's that good. Or make the first one as good as the next one.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Just maybe it's going to have loads of setup.
It's just like, this is just a filler. I haven't finished the second one, but just to tease you, I'll give you this film. If it's worth waiting for, it's worth waiting for.
So it's been like some of the other early films where they just set it up in the first one and then just put all the action in the other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the way it's going to go. I think that's a shame that the films aren't just singular things anymore.
Before you get and move on to the others.
Yeah, I want to see one good film. I don't want to be part of a big, massive franchise.
Yeah, that's a fair point, though.
Thank you, Dom.
Then we've got the second thing we've got is... they've got the titles and release dates for the two Hobbit films. And our New Line Cinema and Warner Brothers Pictures and MGM have officially announced the titles and release dates, so you can be sure to clear one day from your December schedules in 2012 and 2013, as if the diaries are already out for those years.
I'm already busy all through December.
Really?
Both them years. I've got it fully planned up.
You're working 24/7?
Not working, just doing other things.
Other than seeing these films, yeah. Well, the first one is out on December the 14th, 2012. We'll see the release of The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. While the second one is entitled The Hobbit, There and Back Again, and is slated for release on December the 13th, 2013. Under the direction of Peter Jackson from the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the two films are currently being shot back-to-back, and just for Jamie, they're being made in 3D.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Is that to make The Hobbits look bigger than they actually are?
Yeah.
I think...
I think it's just to cover up a lack of plot.
Probably, yeah, that as well.
That's certainly the case in that Tron Legacy film, anyway.
I think the idea of 3D is to make things look huge and look grand, but I don't think it works with, like, a family of hobbits, which are, like, 3 foot tall. It seems to be... It's not selling it to me.
Maybe they'll look, like, normal size.
Maybe.
Sort of... It'll work something like that.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows? I'm not overly excited by it. I liked the book. I did like the Hobbit book. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. The film's just another one, isn't it? The franchise of Lord of the Rings.
That's right. I'm one more for films rather than books. Books, to me, are just things that prop up your kitchen table when it's the leg's gone.
To be honest, if you're using the Hobbit to prop up a table, that's a seriously messed up table. Yeah. You might need a new leg for that one. Yeah.
It's probably about time. Now written by Fran Walsh, Philippa Boyens, Guillermo del Toro and Peter Jackson, the story takes us back to Middle-earth 60 years before Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, following the journey of title character Bilbo Baggins, Martin Freeman, who swept into an epic quest to reclaim the lost dwarf kingdom of Erebor from the fearsome dragon Smaug. As far as returning characters are concerned, Ian McKellen returns as Gandalf the Grey, Cate Blanchett as Galadriel, Orlando Bloom as Legolas, I keep wanting to call him Legoland, Ian Holm as the Elder Bilbo, Christopher Lee as Saruman, Hugo Weaving as Elrond, Elijah Wood as Frodo, and Andy Serkis as Gollum. New to the franchise is obviously Sherlock's Martin Freeman, plus Richard Armitage, Stephen Fry, Sylvester McCoy, Graham McTavish, James Nesbitt, Ken Stott, and Aidan Turner. Now, I've got one last piece of news in this section. Idris Elba, who's in The Wire, and he's going to be in Luther again, coming up on BBC One soon. Is Idris Elba? I can't say it right. Okay, aim in as a guest, so he can come in and pronounce his name.
Probably. What is it? Idris Elba?
Idris Elba.
Idris Elba?
Yeah, but if I can't pronounce his name, you won't come, will he?
No, probably. No. That phone call won't start off very well. Can you put me through to...
I'll get Idris Elba instead of not doing anything.
You just end up... Just get someone with an easy name. Get John Smith on. Just so he can pronounce his name.
Get him on. Is he meeting with Quentin Tarantino to star in Django Unchained? Basically, it's been... A couple of days ago, he said... He posted a tweet online saying he was having one of the biggest meetings of my professional life today, meeting with a very controversial director for a very controversial part. Whatever could it be? They put a picture online of him on a plane. It's been speculated that this could only be a meeting for Quentin Tarantino's upcoming spaghetti western Django Unchained. Previously, it was said that Will Smith was the front runner for the role of Django, a freed slave who teams up with a German bounty hunter, Christoph Waltz, from Inglourious Bees. To take down an evil plantation owner. Django Unchained is reportedly on the fast track with the Weinstein Corporation already on board to distribute domestically, and the production expected to begin later this year. So far there are no confirmed cast members, though Waltz seems like a shoo-in, but Franco Nero, Keith Carradine, Treat Williams and Samuel L. Jackson have all been rumoured for roles in the film. In all likelihood, if Idris Elba seals a deal with his meeting for a controversial director, we could know about it very, very shortly. And that pretty much takes us to the end of the top of the hour. So coming up in the second hour, we've got a mixture of video games and TV, starting with a review of Portal 2. So you listen to Manchester's 106.6, and we've got Randy Newman, Short People. 106.6. That was Paolo Nutini with Coming Up Easy. You're listening to Manchester's 106.6, and this is Movies, Games and TV with Dom Robinson. Now, also joining with me is Jamie Kildare, but he's just nipped out of the studio for a minute. What we've got coming up in this hour, we've got a review of Portal 2 on the Xbox 360. We've got a look at some of the new video game releases due out this Friday. Some video game news, that's for the first half hour. For the second half hour, taking us up until 2 o'clock, we've got some TV stuff. We've got a quick review of Embarrassing Bodies, Diagnosis Live from the Clinic. It's pretty grim. And then also a look ahead to what's coming up in the next week, and also some TV news. So we start off with a review of Portal 2 on the Xbox 360, and on the Facebook page you'll see there's some links for some of the gaming footage of this. Now, Portal 2 is, as the name would suggest, a sequel to Portal, part of the Orange Box, which was released in 2007, and also included the superb sequel Half-Life 2 Episode 2, which also leaves us still wondering when Episode 3 will be released. Anyway, the basics of this title are that it's a very clever puzzle fest in which you must create and move through portals to get access to the necessary parts of the game in order to progress. After a short time, you'll get a portal gun to point out where you'll exit to, and then later on you'll upgrade to a device that can pinpoint both the start and exit points, and it really can begin to mess with your mind. It's also a bit difficult to explain if you've never played the first one. That's why I put the the gameplay videos on the Facebook page, because then you can just, you'll see instantly what I'm talking about. Now, whereas the first game only had around 3 hours of gameplay, this one reportedly has between 10 to 15 hours. Well, I mean, it should do, you're paying full price for the single game. Anyway, as the sequel begins, you awake in what looks like a very pleasant hotel room. But after a couple of brief physical exercises, it's time for sleep again. When you wake next, the room is somewhat dilapidated. What exactly has happened, and how long have you been under? There's a knock at the door, but it's not a human. It's a personality core called Wheatley, voiced by Stephen Merchant, who's been rather slightly annoying recently following a recent banking advert. And he tells you that after something went wrong, you're one of 10,000 test subjects who's been under sedation for far longer than you'll ever know. It soon becomes apparent that Aperture Science Laboratories has deteriorated beyond repair, but you've got no option but just to traverse from level to level. You'll soon come across GLaDOS, though. After all, there wouldn't be a Portal game without her. But she's rather annoyed with you for having killed her in the last game, as anyone would be. And the place has gone to rack and ruin without her fine touch. So everything looks and sounds rather eerie and in pieces. Now, the game contains very trippy audio, which sounds like it's come out of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop circa 1981 for the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And the graphics are as sharp as before and interact without a hitch. If you go onto my YouTube, well, I've put links on the Facebook page anyway, but if you go onto the YouTube channel, DVD Fever Games, which is my channel, you'll see a lot more gaming footage on there, and that's a testament to the fact of just how good the sound and graphics are. I do have one gaming-related annoyance with this sequel, though, which is that you really had to think about where you were going in the first game, but here, many of the levels only contain a handful of specific walls where you can place a portal, with the rest just being impossible to use. Thus, it soon becomes clear roughly where you're meant to place one, which rather defeats the object and loses the game a couple of enjoyment points. Beyond that, though, it's faultless. Overall, it's more Portal. You love the first one, you know you want this one. Buy it. That's all, basically. Now, before we have the gaming charts, we're going to have a bit of James Blunt, who's asking you to stay the night. 106.6. That was Stay the Night by James Blunt. And you're back on the Manchester 106.6, and you're back listening to Movies, Games and TV with Dom Robinson. And we're joined again by Jamie Kilday from The Comedy Show.
How do you, Dom?
Are you all right?
I'm very well, thank you very much. I've just had a cup of tea, so I'm lovely now.
Ooh, just do with a cup of tea, actually. But, there we go.
I'm sorry, Dom. I used the last of the water.
Oh, no.
And the last of the milk.
What, if there's no more water on the planet altogether?
And the last of the sugar. There's no more sugar, tea, milk or water left ever.
I'll have a cup of air.
Okay.
That'll be all right. Can you get me? Yeah, I'll have a cup of air after the next song.
Lovely stuff.
Now, we're going to have... First of all, we're going to start off with the top 10 games charts. Could run through the whole top 40, but, yeah, just put you to sleep if I did that. Going straight in at number one, excuse me, is L.A. Noire, which is a 1940s Los Angeles crime thriller game from Rockstar, who brought you the Grand Theft Auto series. Now, I could go into detail about this, but I've got a review coming next week, so you're going to have to wait.
I'm excited. I've only heard good things about this, so I'm looking forward to your review.
I'll say nothing.
Ooh. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how it
nice tease out. Forward.
Number two, we've got Lego Pirates of the Caribbean. You just can't seem to get away from them. You have Lego Star Wars and Lego Pirates of the Caribbean.
Are you a fan of the Lego games?
No. My nephew is, but I don't get it.
I think even at a tender age of 23, I'm too old for them. Mm. I think the Lego games are, I don't know, they're fun.
Just seems to be the same thing, but with Lego characters. You may as well just have a motion capture of the real thing.
You could do, but I think the Lego franchise is such a big franchise that it will sell to a younger audience, maybe. I don't know. They seem to be doing well with it, though.
Yeah, that's true. Because we've had, Lego... Yeah, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, must be a few others. Or
Pirates of the Caribbean, is that the other one? It's got to number two as well, so...
Yeah.
It's obviously doing something right, I think.
Well, yeah, that's true. Number three is Brink, which is a first-person shooter, which looked pretty good from a video I saw online. I'm not sure if I put this one on the Facebook page, posted by the creators Bethesda. But from what I've read, it's too short and rather a missed opportunity. And this thing tends to happen with some new games. It takes a sequel to address all the issues, which sort of basically brings us back to what we're talking about, films, which where you said the first one's a bit rubbish, and because they've got too much scene setting to do, and then you've got to spend the second one and onwards, you sort of get through to all the action.
Yeah, I think game sequels are different, though. I think, in my experience playing video games, that I very rarely listen to the storyline. I skip through quite a lot of the video scenes. I shouldn't do in some cases, because in some cases the video usually has a piece of information that I'll need to go through the next level. But in most cases, I'm like, I just want to. I don't want to. I would have bought a film if I wanted to watch a film. Yeah, I just want to.
That's true.
I just want to run around and shoot things.
There's a lot of that in a lot of sort of CGI sequences in L.A. Noire to try and set the scene. But once you've seen one, you've seen them all, and it sort of
doesn't help the story along. It slows the game down, I think.
Yeah, indeed. Then number four, we've got Zumba Fitness. Number five rather, The Witcher 2, Assassins of Kings. Number six, Crysis 2. Which I played, that was absolutely brilliant. Just lots of shooting and explosions, which to me sound like World War 3 was going off in my house. Number 7, we've got Portal 2. Number 8, ooh, topical, FIFA 11. See if you've still got a job tomorrow. Number 9, it's Mortal Kombat, a new game for that series. And number 10, the superb Call of Duty Black Ops, which that came out about the end of November, so 6 months on and still selling plenty there.
Same with FIFA 11, isn't it? That's been out much most of the year.
End of October.
And it's a good game, good football game. But as you say, can't be any more rife at the moment, FIFA at the moment. I mean, the game is called FIFA based on the fact that FIFA is the organisation that controls football. They're not technically connected in any other way.
You won't get people buying the game thinking, oh, I wonder how Seb Blatter will do. They're playing the game to watch the footballers.
Yeah.
Score just goals and stuff.
The FIFA story just goes on, doesn't it? When football makes the front page of a newspaper, you know something's going wrong.
Oh, yeah. It's made it far too often recently.
Yeah.
Just to be annoying. There's also some re-entries from Mario Kart Wii at number 23. The Sims Medieval at 27. Dead Rising 2 at 38. And another soccer game, Pro Evolution Soccer, at 2011 at number 39. And now we're going to take a little look at some new video games releases coming out this Friday. We've got Hunted, The Demon's Forge on Xbox 360, PS3 and the PC. Now, powered by the Unreal 3 engine, Hunted, The Demon's Forge is a fresh take on the classic fantasy game that delivers the intensity and action of a modern-day shooter. Taking control of either Ilara, a ranged weapon expert, or Kadok, a master swordsman, you and your partner will descend into a dark and foreboding world for an unforgettable cooperative experience. As you travel deep within the world of Kalamor, you will use a variety of deadly weapons, powerful spells, and cover tactics to face down wave after wave of vicious enemies. It will take the combined efforts of two great warriors to explore menacing dungeons, overgrown ruins, and downtrodden towns, and discover the secret of the Demon's Forge. Now, I've posted a gameplay trailer on the Facebook page, and it showed the scantily clad Ilara being controlled by the player, running about with a bow and arrow, while the other one running alongside, controlled by the console, just looked like he had ants in his pants. The gameplay-wise, it didn't exactly wow me, but the whole game did look utterly gorgeous and have a fantastic atmosphere to it. So, have a look at the trailer on the Facebook page, and see what you make of it. Post a comment. Now then, the next one we got is, well, everyone's heard of The Sims 3, well, all the whole Sims franchise in general, and we've now got an expansion pack for Sims 3 called Generations. So you can enjoy a whole spectrum of rich life experiences with your Sims. Start off in the imagine-fueled world of childhood and embrace the drama of the teen years. Experience the complicated realities of adult life, then recap the benefits of growing up as you get older. Well, like mortgages and backache.
I used to enjoy The Sims when I was younger, and now I've reached the age where, actually, I don't want to sit and build a career for my little Sim. I've reached a point where, actually, I wouldn't mind having a career myself. And I've spent so much of my younger years try to make Sims have nice high profile jobs. I remember playing the first ever Sims. It was like Sims Superstar, make your man a superstar. And now
you want to be the superstar?
Yeah. And apparently it isn't as easy to become a superstar as it was for me to make my Sim a superstar.
Maybe someone's controlling us.
Oh, don't get me onto that.
Be here for hours.
We would be here for hours. I had a strange phone call with a man once, if I'm allowed to digress, where I was working at a call centre and I had to ring people. And this man kept me on the phone for half an hour discussing the existence of humanity and where we came from, what's next. Half an hour I was on the phone to this man. I said no more than three words. The man was constantly going on. And so now, I'm more informed. That's all I can say. But I do wish I had that half hour back.
Yeah, but you still had to you probably had to have a more engaging conversation with someone else after that. So it was like a half hour off for you.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, in terms of work, I didn't have to do much. Sit there and for about half an hour.
I remember once having that bit of a call out in a call centre, but the plus thing was that I just had my lunch, I got my cup of tea, and I just let him ramble on. It was literally, it did last for half an hour. I just sat there and drank my tea, ate my banana, and just had a nice relaxed stare out the window for half an hour.
It was informative, and he was a man of... He had opinions, whether they were informed opinions is a different matter. But anyway, I digress.
Now, we're going to have another song, and then we're going to move on to video games news. The song that's coming up is The Police and Don't Stand So Close to Me. You're listening to Manchester's 106.6.
106.6.
And that was The Police with Don't Stand So Close to Me. And you're listening to Movies, Games and TV with Dom Robinson on Manchester's 106.6. In this section, we're going to have, just before the half-hour point, we're going to have some video games news. Now, the first thing I've got for you is... everyone's heard of Google Maps, and I use it enough. I use it all the time just to find out where I'm going. If someone, I got a D for GCSE geography basically, and I need a sat nav to get to the corner shop. But if you're a big fan of Grand Theft Auto 4, as most people are, then if you go to GTA4.net/map, you'll find those hardcore Nico lovers have not only recreated the real fictional Liberty City using the Google Maps engine. They've even cobbled together 80,000 screenshots to provide full-blown street view as well. Now, this isn't available on Google Maps itself. It'd be pretty cool if it was. It just uses the engine, as they call it. So you just have to go to your browser and just type in GTA4.net/map. And it's just good fun to manoeuvre around as if you actually lived there. That's good fun. Excuse me. Next thing we've got out is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. A date's been given for that. The global warfare is raging and the battle will begin on the 8th of November when cultural phenomenon Modern Warfare returns with a worldwide release of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. It's the newest instalment in Activision's number one first-person action series and is being developed by Infinity Ward and Sledgehammer Games. Eric Hirschberg, the CEO of Activision, said... Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 is by far the most epic Call of Duty experience yet. The teams have worked tirelessly to create for the Call of Duty player a scale that is unimaginable, with a level of polish and creativity that will push the genre forward. The passion and energy of our developers is reflected in everything about the title, from the innovative gameplay to the cinematic intensity to the most advanced multiplayer ever. Modern Warfare 3 will raise the bar for this already incredible franchise. And when I played the last one, Black Ops, I did find that the gameplay had improved a great deal since the previous time I'd played one of them. In that the other men that you're trying to control, they do actually follow you, and the enemies, they do react like normal people would. Not that I've done anything like that in real life, but the previous games years ago, that you just find the men that you're trying to control just sort of running into the corner of a wall, and then you couldn't get them to actually... turn around and follow you, so they're all, it's just like they had something wrong with them, but they've finally addressed that issue. And also one other bit of news, we've got the Sony Next Generation Portable, or NGP. It's just hopefully going to be something like the successor to the PlayStation, the PSP. It could be called PlayStation Vita. According to multiple sources, this is what's going to happen. Mega Rock Blog was allegedly the first publication to leak the name, although the post has since been pulled, and an apology calling the article one of the stupidest things the poster had ever done uploaded in its place. However, Rip10 has since claimed that an inside source has confirmed that the device will be named PS Vita. Also, internet domain names for PlayStationVita.com and PSVita.com were registered in April. The official name of the NGP will be confirmed at Sony's E3 press conference on June the 6th. Now, if you're a fan of the Splinter Cell trilogy, it's going to be delayed. Retail listings have suggested that Ubisoft's Splinter Cell Trilogy HD has been delayed, and that the collection was originally slated for March before being postponed until June. However, Amazon, GameStop and Gamefly now have it listed for August the 2nd. Ubisoft is yet to confirm the new release date. However, the studio appears to have gone back on the June launch, stating, "We do not currently have a shipping date for it. It will be sometime this summer." The PlayStation 3 exclusive will update the original Splinter Cell and the original Splinter Cell and sequels Pandora Tomorrow and Chaos Theory with HD visuals. In addition to a retail release, the pack will be available to download via the PlayStation Network. Presumably that's actually still up and running properly by then. And that brings us to the end of your video game news, and then after another song, we're heading over to look at TV and some TV programmes watched in the past week. When we look at Embarrassing Bodies, Diagnosis Live from the Clinic, which is pretty gross for 8 o'clock at night. So we're going to have a bit of a song now. We've got Oasis with the Hindu Times, and you're listening to Manchester's 106.6. That was the Hindu Times from Oasis. You're listening to Manchester's 106.6. This is Movies, Games and TV with Dom Robinson. And we're joined again today by Jamie Hilday from The Comedy Show.
How do?
Hello.
I'm very well today. I'm in such a good mood.
That's good. What's put you in a good mood?
I don't know. Might have been the cup of tea. Might just be the sunny weather.
The cup of tea.
It might just be. I'm enjoying the show so much. Thank you, Dom, for having us as a guest.
You're welcome.
Lovely today. Thank you
very much for coming in. Been great to have you on.
Cheers.
Now we're going to have a look at a TV program. Well, this section is all about TV now, taking us up until 2 o'clock. And the first, the program we're going to take a look at that's been broadcast in the past week. I don't know whether you saw this, Jamie. Embarrassing Bodies, Diagnosis Live from the Clinic. Did you see any of that?
I'm puzzled as to why these people feel the need to go on TV.
Live as well.
Is it live as well?
This particular series is live.
I don't understand. Surely these illnesses aren't real. They must be pathetic. I watched one once, and there was a man with a hat he glued to his head. And it was like he was out on a night out, and he glued this little tiny pork pie hat, about 6 inches in diameter, onto his head.
Yeah.
So it didn't fall off at an angle. So then he went to the doctors, and they were like, yeah, you've glued it on, mate. we can't take it off. And so what the doctors did was, because, it had a big rim on it, they cut the hat bit off and kept the rim on, and it just looked worse. And he was just like, oh, thank you very much. He's like, no, you're an idiot, mate.
he's probably the one that bought Princess Beatrice out off eBay, because at least that couldn't be any more embarrassing.
No, that looks like it's had some bits cut off it, doesn't it?
Yeah. But Embarrassing Bodies Live from the Clinic, this is a six-parter from the makers of Embarrassing Bodies, with, as the name suggests, live medical diagnoses with doctors Christian Jessen and Dawn Harper, all set in a rather futuristic-looking studio that looked something out of Tron, which kept changing colour between blue and white, depending on whether they had someone calling up via Skype for an appointment. And all the appointments could be booked via their website to be seen that evening. Now, the three cases I'm going to mention. The first case was a man of 48 who had some sort of purple gash on his foot, which was... sorry if you're having your lunch at the moment. Had a sort of purple gash on his foot, which he held up to the camera. Now, he's 48. He said he's had this... This has been as bad as it was for the past 15 years, and that he's had the condition over 40 years. He said he hadn't seen a doctor, just went to a plastic surgeon who couldn't do much. Now, the two doctors, Christine and Dawn, suggested he should see a specialist to look into what was causing it. And all I could think of was, why has no one suggested that before? You know, if you've been putting up with that for all those years. Maybe there's something wrong in his head.
Probably.
Stopping him doing that. Now, the second guy is just shouldn't laugh. It might be quite amusing. There's a man, again, apologies if you have any lunch. A man whose nipples stuck out just because he goes to the gym a lot. Christian said he was quite embarrassed himself because he has the same problem, because he just said, I am quite nipply as well, and that's because he goes to the gym a lot as well. So basically, there's nothing wrong with him. It was just, you know.
You said then, maybe I shouldn't laugh at these things. Now, I think this programme isn't a serious programme. You can't tell me this programme is there, because the embarrassing illnesses aren't common illnesses. Like, they're not things that are common and embarrassing that people are embarrassed to go to the doctors about. They're not like, it'd make more sense if they were saying, oh, someone's got an embarrassing rash, it turns out it's cancer. Like, and they said, look, this is an embarrassing illness that someone might go, oh, I don't know what that is. Yeah. So they won't go to the doctor because it's an embarrassing area.
Mm.
Whereas these people have diseases which they always reveal. One in a million people get this. So that's like 60 people in the whole of the population of Britain would suffer from that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just don't... I don't want to say these people are being... They are... You shouldn't laugh, but they are being set up to ridicule. That's the point I'm trying to make. The fact that the programme is set up so that you are geared to laugh at them, even though you shouldn't laugh. Especially but the programme doesn't help that.
No, especially with a massive screen to broadcast their ailments on.
Yeah.
And the third, excuse me, the third one was a guy from the West Midlands who had a very severe case of, I don't know if I can describe it on air, but he had warts in an area you really wouldn't want them, with close-up pictures to match. And I can't remember what the way to treat them was. I think I just fast-forwarded at that point. Just, yeah, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, these are best Sky Plus to these programmes. Yeah. If you're going to have to watch them, always make sure they're Sky Plus so you can fast-forward through bits.
I'll probably just delete it before you start watching it.
Yeah.
But if you want to watch it, it's on, again, Channel 4, 8 o'clock, on every Wednesday, well, that's tomorrow night. I've got to look at some programmes coming up in the next week. The first one is Case Histories on Sundays at 9 o'clock on BBC One. With Jason Isaacs. It's an unusual take on the detective genre featuring Jackson Brodie, Jason Isaacs, who has served with the army and the police and is now a private investigator. Jackson takes on the mysterious case of a girl who went missing 30 years ago, as well as helping a grieving father to find the man who murdered his daughter, all whilst trying to deal with flashbacks to his own traumatic past. And this stars Amanda Abingdon from Married Single Other, Natasha Little from Mistresses, Fenella Woolgar, who I only remember when I looked her up, she played Agatha Christie in Doctor Who in the episode The Unicorn and the Wasp. Kirstie Mitchell from Murphy's Law and Monarch of the Glen. And she also did the voice for Natalia Simonova, the GoldenEye 007 video game that came out last year. Now, that does look quite an interesting programme, so I'm going to take a look at that. Sunday, 9 o'clock on BBC One. And, have a watch of that, because we'll be mentioning that next week. now... This Saturday at 6:40 on BBC One, it's the final episode of Doctor Who before the summer break. Now, normally you'd expect 13 episodes to come in one go, but this time they're having seven, doing something a bit different. They're having seven episodes, then they're going to have a break over the summer, and then have another six from September onwards, which kind of helps, really, because there was no... you probably don't get that many viewers during the summer, and they start, and because Easter fell late this year, they ended up starting the whole series late anyway. But this episode is going to be called The Good Man Goes to War. Now, I'm not going to give any spoilers beforehand, but I will be discussing this series as a whole next week, because I've got a few things I want to get off my chest about that. Because do you watch Doctor Who?
No, but I did see in the Metro today, page 3, the Getting of the Daleks.
Is this a spoiler, or is this just some...
No, it's page 3 of the Metro.
Oh, right, it's not... it's just in general?
Yeah, they're not going to be carrying on with the Daleks.
That's good in a way, because they just seem to just bring them out every time they needed a bit of time to fill.
I think that was pretty much it, isn't it? They've become such an institution that they didn't think to build a story around them. They just go, oh, this story's a bit weak at the moment. Just throw in a Dalek. People love a bit of Dalek action.
Last time they made them look like Teletubbies when they... regenerated them, or whatever you do with Daleks. They just all looked completely different to whoever they were.
It's bizarre. I was talking to a friend about comic books and saying how early comic books said things or did things without thinking about the plausibility of them.
Yeah.
So like how Superman could go into a phone booth and come out as Superman.
Yeah.
You go, well, where's his clothes gone? Where's the closest? Are they still in the phone booth? And so things like that, comic books always address them later on. They'll go, because somebody might write to the comic book and say, where does Superman's clothes go? And then they'll address it in a later cartoon.
Ah, right.
And I think that's something that Doctor Who constantly does, because people go, yeah, so Cybermen, right? And then they'll go, oh, yeah, we didn't think that they can't... Or, like, the Daleks can't go upstairs. Yeah. And they'll go, yeah, when they first thought of making Daleks, they didn't ever consider that stairs...
could be an issue.
Yeah. So that's why they address that in later episodes.
Oh, just make them elevate and all the rest of it.
So basically, if there's something that's annoying you in a Doctor Who episode, if you get enough of you to write a letter concerning it, so if you say, why does he always wear his scarf so that it... to the left? I don't know.
Yeah.
And then in a future episode, they'll probably address the fact that he's right-handed, so it's... I don't know. I don't know what it is. Who knows?
I don't know.
Who cares enough to write a letter in?
I mean, I posted a video online of... They're talking on Breakfast about Stephen Moffat sort of having a blast at fans who wrote spoilers. And then I found myself... I wasn't even following him. I managed to get myself blocked on Twitter by Stephen Moffat, who's bizarre.
Ah, well.
Bizarre. There you go. Oh, well, I wasn't following them. I won't be following him now either. The other programme, just got to mention it, is Lead Balloon, which starts again. Now, it used to be on BBC 4, but now they've finally seen sense, and they're going to put it on BBC 2. This is starting at 10 o'clock tonight. An episode called Pig. Jack D returns as failed stand-up and serial liar Rick Spleen in the fourth series of the critically acclaimed comedy. Rick's career is at an all-time low, even when his idea of writing a novel gets stuck on page one. So when a Sunday newspaper wants to do an at-home-with feature about his partner, Mel, Rick naturally tries to muscle in on the action. But when he decides that having a pet pig would look good in the photos, Rick proves that, if nothing else, he's a prize-winning author of his own downfall. Along with Jack D, we've got Raquel Cassidy, who was actually in last week's Doctor Who. Excuse me. Last week's Doctor Who. Sean Power. Anna Crilley as Magda the maid. And Antonia Campbell-Hughes as his daughter. You a fan of Lead Balloon, Jamie?
I'm a big fan of Jack D. I do admire his stand-up. I think he's a very good stand-up. I thought Lead Balloon was a little bit too much like a poor man's Arrested Development. Not Arrested Development, Kirby Enthusiasm.
Kirby Enthusiasm, yeah, it is a bit. Sometimes works on its own to a degree, but yeah.
But I think it's good and it's worth watching and it's funny. It is very funny. But I just... I'm constantly making parallels with Kirby Enthusiasm in my head, and I prefer Kirby Enthusiasm a lot.
I keep waiting. When's the next series of that going to begin? Because they usually bring them out about every 2 years now, but it's... I saw a trailer or a teaser like of him walking through New York around about January, February. I kept thinking, oh, it must be starting soon. And we're now... But it's June tomorrow.
Was that not a trailer for Whatever Works?
I think it was
the Larry David film that he was in, the Woody Allen film that Larry David started.
Oh no, it was just him, just walking like sort of 30-foot-tall Larry David walking through New York.
Okay.
So it's just like it's really good.
Like Godzilla
online, yeah, it's like Godzilla. And I was really smart, but I thought, oh, actually, it must be coming back. Still waiting.
Oh well.
So probably like make it the autumn, like they do with all these things.
Yeah, probably.
It's a bit of a shame because it's fantastic. Well, it won't come out in the summer now because nothing ever does in America, does it? Okay, we're going to have another song now, and after that we're going to have some TV news. I'm going to be telling you, for those who do watch it, who's going to be the official X Factor judges. Will it be Cheryl? Will it won't be? But the song we're going to have, Elvis Costello with Oliver's Army. You're listening to Manchester's 106.6. That was Elvis Costello with Oliver's Army. And you're back with Movies, Games and TV with Dom Robinson. And we're still joined by Jamie Kilday.
How do?
Are you all right?
I am very well. I've really enjoyed this show. Thank you very much for having us on.
Thank you very much for coming on. So, get you back again sometime.
Well, you'll have to book it in my busy schedule. It can't be over December.
No, definitely not December. Because he's busy. He's booked out the whole of the Odeon. So you can just sit there and watch the Hobbit films back to back. That's why you're busy, isn't it? Not.
Maybe. Could be. I don't want to disclose too much information over the radio.
Specifically asking for the 3D versions.
Yeah.
Because you have to look for your 3D films. No, I know what you mean.
It's because I'm so small. I'm quite a short man. And so watching 3D things makes me feel even more small. Yeah. I'm intimidated by 3D. That's the reason.
Especially when they're on a big screen. Shooting out at you.
Thank you.
Now... We're going to look at a bit of TV news and some exclusive news that's now come out of who the X Factor judges are going to be in this, well, this summer's, well, this autumn rather, their show.
Should we have a drum roll for it?
Yeah, I was going to say, drum roll, please. Got Gary Barlow.
Who?
Gary Barlow. That chap who's in, I don't
take
know,
that, yeah.
Stood in, standing on a robot or something in all over the place these days. Chulisa Constab... That woman from Endos.
Talisa from Endos.
Talisa from Endos.
The fact that I can't see why she's a judge. I can't see any reason why she is.
I mean, now they've said that... Well, give the game away. Well, it's all in front of all the papers. Now they said that Cheryl's not doing it. What's the betting? That well, the other one is going to be Kelly Rowland. So what's the betting that I think she used to be in Destiny's Child?
Yeah.
What's the betting that one of them two drops out before, and then they make another headline saying Cheryl's in the show?
They'll drop Talisa.
Yeah.
Kelly Rowland's a big name. She's been in the business for years.
That's true.
With Destiny's Child and that, whereas
Talisa is still making the odd BBC Three documentary and making some rather...
Have you watched that B&N Dubs? Have you actually watched it? It is possibly one of the worst things in the world. It's just...
Done about 3 in the morning or something.
Say that again.
It's on about 3 in the morning or 11:30 at night. Like, I'm not quite sure.
I don't know when it's on, but it's rubbish anyway. Anyway, so I digress.
And the other one is Louis Walsh. Great.
I don't mind Louis Walsh.
He looks like Charlie Brown.
He does, but he's done well for himself. People forget that... He managed, well, they don't forget, he constantly reminds people that he managed Boyzone and Westlife. But you think the success that Boyzone and Westlife had, it's unimaginable.
True, yeah.
Success. He did that. Yeah. It wasn't just Boyzone and Westlife that did that themselves. He did that. He made them the big stars they are. So I think he gets, for his stick, he's done well for himself. Like Pete Waterman as well. He used to get a lot of stick, and look at the things he's managed. And Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
So, fair play, I don't mind them as judges, but it's when you see people, the other people that have less achievements. Like, even Cheryl Cole hasn't achieved that much. She's achieved a lot through the help of other people, and I'd rather see the other people being the judges, not the people that are behind
people who've been there a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People who are eventually the winner of X Factor is going to end up having to work with. But there you go.
Well, they'll probably end up being one of the panellists one day.
Yeah.
Now, I've got something that's coming up in EastEnders. Now, This probably had to lose your job on day one. I'll admit I'm a big fan of El Dorado when that was on, 92, 93.
That? I was four.
You were four. it's probably best forgotten. It's a show that ran for a year. They wanted it to run forever. And, well, I enjoyed it. It was just utter rubbish, but it was entertaining rubbish, I found. But Polly Perkins, who's best known for her role as Trish Valentine in El Dorado, she's to join the cast of EastEnders as Dot's sister Rose. The siblings have been estranged for most of their lives since Rose did the unforgivable, embarked on an affair with Dot's husband Charlie. However, after a bout of hypochondria, Dot decides she needs to put things right and track down a little sister. Flighty fun and not one to grow old gracefully, Rose couldn't be more different to Dot, and she certainly isn't pleased to see her after all these years. However, could it be, could it be that there is another reason Rose isn't glad? The voice is gone. Could it be that there is another reason Rose isn't glad that Dot has tracked her down? But Polly Perkins said, "I'm thrilled to be joining the cast of EastEnders. The show is a real British institution with an extraordinary creative team. I'm really looking forward to working with June again, who I've been friends with for over 30 years. Now, I gave up watching EastEnders a long time ago. In fact, the only drama I watched, soap opera, is Doctors, which is on as I speak. Do you watch any soaps?
If it was a gun held to my head and I had to say a soap that I watched, Coronation Street, just to keep it northern, just to keep it representing Manchester. That's it. EastEnders is, I watched a little bit of it, and it was just tried too hard to be young and hip.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. It was all these kids all being like, yeah, like, and in it, and they're with it.
Streets,
and you're just like, people don't talk like that. Like, as much as people think they do.
They just don't.
And it irks me a little bit. Plus, I don't think I'm the demographic for EastEnders anyway.
And now they're making it in HD, so you can have four or five times extra the depression on your screen.
HD is another irk of mine, but we'll carry on. It's like with Sky News. Sky News now going to be in HD. So why does news need to be in high definition? It's a news presenter. The last thing I want to see is the pause of a news presenter. The skin pause.
Oh, right.
Yeah, not the long drawn-out pause before a depressing story. No, like the skin pause.
The dinosaur taking over.
Yeah, not the cat paws either. Not many people know that news presenters don't have hands. They just have paws.
Do they? Oh, but that's why they're just off screen, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're just going up to the end of the show now. So that's been my first ever show. So have a look at put trailers and everything on the Facebook page, Movies, Games and TV with Dom Robinson. Have a search for that. And thank you very much, Jamie, for coming in.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Dom. Thank you very much for having us on.
You're welcome. We're going to play out up to the top of the hour with Jamelia and See It in a Boy's Eyes. This is Manchester's 106.6.
106.6.